Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We honor you for all that you done said and done. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is regulating in this earthly realm right now. We ask, Lord God, that by your Spirit, allow us to follow you today. Reveal yourself to us today, Lord God, through your word, Lord God. Help us to understand that which you've been placed in our spirit that we've been wrestling with all week long, Father God. In Jesus' name, that we may be able to preach it unto your people, Lord God. Give us the victory that has already been presented to us. Change our mindset to understand that it has already been done. Give us the ability to receive and not to run anymore. In Jesus' name, the people of God say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you have, turn to Genesis, the 13th verse. When you have it, say amen. And the Lord God said unto woman, what is it that thou have done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast in the field. Upon the belly shall thou go, and the dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's it. Look at your neighbor and say, if I don't have anything else, I have the promise. That's it. That's it. You know, one of my favorite verses that I don't really like to quote the whole part of it, but I love to quote this part. And I love it because it's just so powerful and so anointed. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I love that. I love that. It don't seem like it's much at first, right? But when you really think about it, it's David asking a question unto God, why or what is it that caused you to remember mankind? What is it is causing you to keep us in remembrance? Why are you so fond of us? Have you ever wondered why God loves you so much? You know, it's kind of crazy because me and a pastor was preaching. I mean, we was preaching to each other yesterday. And I got to say that's true. I was trying to talk and he was preaching, so I sit back and let him preach then. But it's so hard for us as individuals to comprehend this movement in Christ because if you really think about it, you asking me to serve a God that gave his only begotten son for me, that whom I was dead, that I messed up, but he gave his only son for me to redeem me. Now you telling me it doesn't matter how bad I am or what I've been through, that all I have to do is open up my mouth and say, you are my Lord and Savior, and he forgives me from all of these things. Hold on. This does not add up in humanity. Thinking, excuse me, you trying to tell me all I got to do is confess my sins? Do you know what I did? Hold up. I know what you see me do, but do you know what I actually did and is still is doing? Can I teach like I wanted today? This whole walk of Jesus Christ can be mind-boggling to individuals. And then we wonder why they can't receive the promise. You trying to tell me that I done killed somebody? You trying to tell me I done all this wrong to these individuals, including myself, and all I got to do is open up my mouth and say, Lord, I accept you? And everything's wiped away? And you expect to believe that? You need to stop lying to me. There's no way that any equation that I place on the board, that what you're telling me, it can come true. I cannot be justified. I cannot obtain what you're telling me because there's no good thing that dwells in me. And even if by some strange coincidence, what you're telling me is true to obtain salvation, Pastor, there's no way I can keep it. So what's the use in me confessing him if I can't get out of my mess that I'm in? Can I teach like I want to today up in here? I'm trying to explain to all of us as individuals the biggest flaw we have inside Christ Jesus. It's our understanding of how this thing works. There's no way that me coming to church and saying two lines out of my mouth and going back home and waking up tomorrow and think that I'm changed. It's kind of crazy because I didn't hit the lottery. That's instant change in my finances. Hallelujah. I didn't get a blood transfusion or a kidney transfusion or a replacement. That's something instantaneously I can see that's going to develop me to change. Didn't get a divorce. I still got to deal with this crazy Negro that's in my life. And you expecting me to open my mouth and say words and everything is washed away. And when you say it like that, and if you think what I'm thinking like this, you can understand the biggest pitfall for individuals to come in Jesus Christ. Now I understand what he said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, not knowledge in themselves, but acknowledge in what I have already performed that has nothing to do with them. Hallelujah. There's something. I'm almost finished already. That's already been established that we do not talk enough about in church. And that is what the scripture that I was telling you about that keep God in remembrance of mankind. And that is a covenant that he done placed on this earthly realm that caused other covenants to follow, that caused me not to worry about anything but just to receive a covenant. There is agreement between God and mankind or humanity, hallelujah, that he's already set in effect that we need to talk about today. Is that okay? There's two different types of covenant. There's one that we want to talk about because it has us involved in more than enough. That is a conditional covenant, which simply is this: if you will, then God will. That's good right there, because now I got power. Do you know that we are power hungry folks? Do you understand that church is a crazy situation where you can be on dirt level on your job, but you can be a leader in church? When you get people that always want some power, they come in church and they the best in church because they want. But if you will, then I will. Everything is predicated on what you do. Inside the scriptures, there are only two covenants that was presented in this format: a conditional covenant The second one I want to deal with first, then I'll go back to the first one. Because the second one is what we're more familiar with. It's the Mosaic covenant, which is the laws, the moral laws, the civil laws, and the ceremonial laws. And it simply says this. If you were to do what I have written down for you when Moses went to the mountaintop and brought you down, that you see, if you do the Ten Commandments, if you do the ceremonial rituals, children of Israel, then I will bless you. If you don't, then I'll curse you. Then it's the one that started all of this out. It's the covenant that he made with the Garden of Eden. Not with Adam and Eve, but he made a covenant with the Garden of Eden. And that means simply this, that I can place sin in the midst of you and set mankind down in there, and mankind will choose me. So, mankind, if you choose me, if you choose to eat of the tree of life, and ignore the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you will have always eternal life and never see death. But if you don't, I will put a tailspin in your life that causes you to get to a lowest point in your life and be thrown out all alone in your life. Let me express this to every individual in here. You was not part of that covenant with the Garden of Eden, but you was the effect of the sins of Adam and Eve. So the same thing that has occurred with them is now occurring in you. So, because that was your daddy, you have to deal with their mistakes. Can I teach like I want to teach for a few moments? I'm going to bring you in. Now, there was an unconditional covenant placed in effect that nobody really wants to deal with because it has nothing to do with you. An unconditional covenant is simply this. I'll do what I promise. It has nothing to do with us. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with your circumstances or your situation. I'm going to do what I promise. But this is the problem. I don't even really look at you when I'm doing it. What I am looking at when I perform it and what causes me to perform it is me. It's when I had enough and I'm sick and tired of the condition like they are. How do I know this? Watch who fell up beneath of this covenant. Ready? The unconditional covenant is simply this. It's about God and how he feels. If he wants you to stay in it, if he want to bring you out, if he want to bless you, if he don't want to bless you, one of them was the Noahic covenant. It's when God decided to destroy mankind and redo it again. I'm on her. In other words, once the covenant came forth, it was the covenant of God repenting on what he done. He simply told mankind that I will not curse the ground anymore. Mankind will not be destroyed by flood anymore. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a do-over. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's when you understand that God got a heart in him. That after he allowed you to get to a place where you think that everything is done, he give you a do-over. Oh, y'all got to understand what I'm trying to say. He wiped the slate clean. That's why folks can't comprehend when the do-over is in effect. It ain't had nothing to do with you or how you act or where you did something good or not. It's just God just woke up one morning, look in your life, yawn and say, I'm going to do a do-over. It's Sister Gloria. It ain't got nothing to do whether she was good or bad. Yeah, I let it get too far in her life. But I decided today that I'm going to do a do-over. Did anybody know the do-over God that brings things back to where to start it all over again? Your credit was shambled, messed up. When you checked the credit report, it was a do-over on it. Your credit score was in the 8. It went to the 4. You look back at it, back in the 8. And you say to yourself, how did this happen? And because God woke up one morning and put the do-over in effect, allowing you to have a second chance. Hallelujah. Yeah. I feel like preaching that. Anybody out here? Yeah, ever slept with this, that, and the other? And you know you're supposed to have AIDS. And God gave you a blood transfusion. And you went to the doctors. And they say, hey, Mr. Mike Jones, I don't know what you're talking about. Your blood is clean. Anybody here can comprehend what I'm saying? There's a do-over God. He's a God of a second chance. And it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's a covenant that he already established. And you are a part of it because you was there with Adam. Inside the covenant of the unconditional covenant, there's a part two of it. And it falls underneath of the Abraham covenant. Watch this. I will cause a deep sleep to come over you, Abram. And while you're asleep, I'm going to walk in between your here and now. And I'm going to transform your here and now to a best blessed place. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you to sleep because you can't handle that which I'm ready to do. And when you wake up, I'm going to already perform it for you. Yeah, this is the one why your future is already blessed. Anybody in here ever fell asleep and when you woke up, God done already worked it out on your... All you got to do is lay there, snore, and turn a little bit. And when you wake up the next morning, everything done changed. You don't know how it was performed. You don't know how it was done. Only thing you can say is, but. Yeah, when I went to sleep, I was worried all about what tomorrow may bring. But when I woke up in the morning, everything seemed to be all right. This is based simply on faith. This is based simply on faith. If you believe in the impossible, the unconditional covenant will walk in effect. If you understand that what you're going through is not too big for God, that God can split anything wide open, and when he walks down the middle of it, he will change it over from meat that's dead into a worship that is real. Look at your neighbor
and say, I got a promise that everything's going to be all right. So what am I worrying about? Yeah. Why am I crying? Yeah. I am not going to stay up late at night tonight. I'm going to go to bed so God can work it out on my behalf. Now I understood what happened in the lion's den. Daniel said, whatever's going on, I have no control over it. There is already a covenant that's been laid down for me. So I might as well lay down on this. So I got to trust that God will close my enemy's mouth. I got to trust that God gonna work it out on my behalf. It ain't no need in me worrying about it another minute. It's time to go to sleep. Look at your neighbor and tell them, go to sleep on this. Yeah! Worrying about it ain't gonna change a thing. Excuse me. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm going to sleep. Why? Because weeping may endure in the night, but joy come in the morning light. And I gotta get to my joy quick as I can. And the best way to go through time is to go to sleep. So it's time for me to sleep on it. Worrying about it ain't gonna change a thing. Yeah, I'm tired, and the reason why you're tired is God trying to tell you, go to sleep. Now I understand why when I go in surgery, they always put me to, yeah. So when I'm asleep, I don't feel any pain. When I'm asleep, I don't feel the hurt. When I wake up, I got a change in me. Yeah, I stand in faith, believing that God has already worked it out on my behalf. But you want it to be a conditional covenant. You want to stay up all night long in your fake praise. It's time to just let God work it out on your behalf. Look at your neighbor and tell them, are you asleep yet? Yeah. Go to sleep, Beanie. I hear you. Go to sleep, Gloria. I hear you. Yeah. I'm sleeping. What do you mean you moving? I'm sleepwalking. I'm sleep praising them. I'm sleep blessing them. What are you talking about, Pastor? I ain't worrying about it. I'm just going on with the flow until morning comes. So we dealing with the Noahic covenant, which allows me to have a do-over. Hallelujah. Thank you for the do-over. So do-over means simply this, my child. Look at me. It don't make a difference what you did do. God done cleaned your slate. So if the creditor says something, God done cleaned the slate. If this joker done spoke stuff in your head, God done already wiped. I don't care what you have done. Look at somebody say, I'm in a do-over covenant. So it might as well fall into the faith covenant and go to sleep on it. I don't need to defend myself anymore. Talk about me all you want. I got a do-over. It doesn't matter whether it is true or not true. I got a do-over. So I ain't got no need to run my mouth. I just gotta go to sleep in God. The third part of the unconditional covenant is a Davidic or David covenant. Ah, watch this, y'all. It that deals with David's family prospering even through adversity. Because of this covenant, I now know that my kingship cannot be taken from me just because I messed up. We don't understand this. It has nothing to do with you. So all the mess up after you become king, you're going to deal with the consequences of your sin, but he's not going to take your kingdom from you. This is the one that pushes me into the grace movement of God. Woo! So this is why you cannot, and you got to be careful what you say to the righteousness of God. Now I understand why David did not kill Saul. Because Saul was king. And it didn't matter how much he did wrong. He could not take his kingship. It wasn't his place. So look at a person next to you and just push them one time and tell them, salvation is simply this. Nobody can take it from you. Only you can resign. This thing is strange. How can I keep getting do-overs? How can I go to sleep when chaos is all around and I wake up a brand new day? And how can I keep that which God done gave me and cannot lose it? No make a difference how crazy I act. When people understand that they all fall underneath an unconditional movement that has nothing to do or is not predicated upon you, we obtain salvation more easily. David, only time when he lost his kingdom, it wasn't because of sin. It was because of the effect of sin. He ran from he gave up on his kingship. I'm here to preach to your spirit, man, right now. Some of y'all was at a place of giving up because of something that you have done, and you did not understand what grace is truly, and you still don't understand what grace is truly about. Somebody lied to you and told you that you had, and what you had to do, and what you should do. That's a conditional covenant that's based on your performance. But an unconditional a promise or covenant is based on what God has already done for you. You are saved by grace, not by works, that you may boast about it. Watch what he told David. 2 Samuel 7:16, thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Thy throne shall be established forever. It's a covenant of kingship, of everlasting kingship, to place us back to where my scriptures is right now. And that's that Adam covenant, or Mosaic covenant. Watch this, because in this right here, I found the problem where we're not succeeding. You always got to go back to the root of the problem. Watch this. If you go to the root of the problem, you'll find nuggets that help you see the enemy and how he works, and see God when God plan on moving. Y'all ready? Let's go. There was consequence for the sin. It wasn't destruction of their sin. They still had everlasting life, but it was transformed over from all spiritual to now natural, then back to the spirit. Let me get this and I'm going home. This now becomes the dispensation of conscience. You are now, in order to win this battle, have to be knowledgeable of how the enemy is moving and how to obtain victory. Before this, let me teach like I want. I didn't mean to preach because I got you all excited and I wanted to teach this thing. Before this, sin was around you and you didn't even see it. Let me explain this to you. When you was out there smoking your coke, drinking your drink, laying down with everything that was out there, Billy Buck, Pee Wee, Little Herman, doing your junk, you did not know how bad a shape that you was in. Y'all, let me teach like a woman. What's happening to you now? You are entering into a place of consciousness. That's why it's so difficult for you. It's not that your surroundings has changed. God has hidden you from that at one time in your life. But now that he has gave you the call to come over to this side, he's making you aware how bad it is on the other side, to bring you into full knowledge that you need help. Oh, that's not for everybody, was it? Y'all missed it. So where I'm at right now that I thought was so bad is really, because God is letting me know that the dumb stuff that I was doing was been the end of my life, was death. But now he's bringing me to the understanding that he is here to rescue me. All I gotta do is call on his holy name. Now, I want to deal with these. Let me go. Thank you. Number one, you have to understand that Satan likes to use attractive and intelligent individuals and things to destroy you. What I like is not what Mike Jones like. He's going to use different devices on him than is on me. Hallelujah. He's going to come at him differently than he coming at me. So I got to be honest with myself of what I like and what I don't like. If you like 6'5 and all the way live, he's not going to send a 5'5 your way. He's going to tempt you with that which you like to try to draw you, pull you, and pry you from the life that he had for you. So you gotta be careful in what you like. Let me explain this to you. The serpent was not Satan. The serpent was used by. Look at your neighbor and say that Sister Sabrina was only being used 3 weeks ago. She's still Sister Sabrina. So stop being mad at Sister Sabrina. She had a shortfall, and she got to deal with that by God all by herself. So stop judging her. Now, you need to be mad at Satan.
Oh, y'all didn't like that, did you? Because y'all want to be mad at her, don't you? If y'all notice here in the scripture, the serpent was with them. Even at the end, he didn't run out of the garden. He stood before God just the same as Adam and Eve. All three of them was used. They wasn't mad at the serpent. The serpent was with them when they had to walk out of the garden. He had to deal with that with they. Y'all didn't want to hear that. See, that's why the church is dying right there. You want to be mad at Sister Katina. You want to be mad with Sister Tawana. You want to be mad with Sister Gloria. You want to think it's pastor is the devil. We all can be used by the enemy when we lured away by our own lust of the flesh. I'm trying to give you tools now. I'm trying to give you tools now. So stop being mad at the individual. And it's time to get mad at the individual that's doing it to you, the devil himself.
Number two, falls underneath the umbrella that he told woman. Listen, you will always, from this day forth, receive much pain and much suffering in thy conception. I used to thought this was just for the females. God said, no, you're missing it. If Adam and Eve was one, in order for a male to get this, he got to go through this part too. Every next level of God, it takes a birthing experience of suffering and pain. The reason why we do not birth next level ministry is that we don't want to endure the pain. We are aborting the baby in the 9th month. It's a bunch of baby killers in the body of Christ. Because you're more concerned about how you are feeling and what you are going through than what your baby is doing inside of you. Let me preach this like I want to preach, huh? You're all concerned about your hurt and pain, and you don't understand what's trying to come out of you. There's life in the midst of your hurt and pain. What pushes woman to travail in the 9th hour? Well, you want to know what pushes them? Life. Look at your neighbor and tell them, push through it. You're about ready to birth something special. It's time out for giving up in the body of Christ. It's time in for placing yourself in a birthing position. Put your foot on the stirrups and push, baby. Push, push, push. I know it hurts. I know you're in pain. I know you're going to curse sometime. I know you're going to blame me because I don't want to place it inside of you, say God. But it's okay to do what you got to do to bring it out of you.
When we first get a baby, oh, we telling everybody, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant. When the feet started swelling, we complain to those that's closest to us. But when it's time for birth, everybody that's around us will be, it's your fault. You did this to me. Don't look at me right now. Get this thing out of me. That which is so precious through the time of pain and suffering becomes a thing, not your baby. All you care about is you. But true mothers don't care about themselves. That's why the church is dying. Because we complaining too much in the ninth month. And we almost there. Next one. God, I didn't plan on being this long. I'm sorry, y'all. I cannot no longer allow you to walk without a covering. I can no longer allow you to walk alone in a garden without me there. They that are led by the Spirit, they shall be the sons of God. This was not only for the woman that needed a covering, it's for all individuals now. We should never do anything without headship there. We should not wake up in the morning without acknowledging our headship. We should not seek a job without acknowledging our headship. We shouldn't be walking nor talking without acknowledging our headship. We have no right anymore doing anything of our own accord. How do I know that? I had a life. Everything I did before I was saved was done by me and me alone. That's why I ended up in the condition that I was in. And I have no right now in this second life to try to walk without Jesus. Too many of y'all messed up because you have made decisions without first seeking God. That's why you are in a position that you are in. And then we want to blame him. The next one. It was spoken to mankind. Let me express this to you. And I don't think I did. As a matter of fact, I know I didn't say it. I don't apologize. Women deals with spiritual birth of all individuals. The man deals with spiritual authority. So the women is when you want to get to the next level of ministry, when you want to deal with getting to the better places of God, the curse of the women is how you obtain victory in the spiritual realm. In ministry. Conceiving. Now we're dealing with the curse of mankind. Because man is the reproduction or the seed of mankind. This thing right here is going to go throughout generation, whether you choose it or not. Hallelujah. In other words, this ain't got nothing to do with spirituality. Whether you save or not save, this will occur. So if you want to be a bump in the log in church and not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this will still occur. It's going to be hard and to produce through your natural abilities, the sweat of your, because I have already cursed your future. So whether you saved or not, let me explain this to you. Everything that's bad is still going to happen. It didn't get worse on you because you came into Jesus Christ. Everything bad was already going to happen to you, that's happening to you now and tomorrow and the next day and next year and 10 years from now. Thorns and thistles shall grow on the ground. Listen here. You're going to produce, but it's going to be hard. I used to think that was the end of it. Until revelation sets in, which changes me from the unsaved. Can somebody say, can you please read the 15th verse, Pastor? Come on. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy, and thou shalt. So, what separates me from the unsaved? Look at somebody say, I got a seed. that I'm going to plant in a cursed ground. Now I understand why the cross had to be placed in the Now I understand why they had to hang him high and everybody had to be at his foot, because he is the promise that takes me from cursed future to a blessed future, to be able to obtain the do-overs, the sleeping, and keep grace flowing in my life. Thorns and thistles shall grow on it. Now I understand why they had to put a crown of thorns on his, because he had become the king of the curse. Who is the only one that's in control of my bad parts of my life now? Look at somebody say, the king. He took it back. He has a key to death and he took it back. So now, hallelujah, this is the happy part. Where I was going to go through all of this stuff because of the curse of mankind, I don't have to go through it anymore, Mike Jones, because there was an interception at the cross that changed the saved from the unsaved. The change that I got to go through it to now, I don't have to go through it. Because now all I got to do is refer to the works that he already performed for me. Don't have to do nothing else. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't have to do nothing else. Every time that the devil say you are owed this, all I got to do is point to the... No, I don't. Did you see on the cross that what he had on his head? Did you read the great promise that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that seed of corruption and her seed of grace, that now there's a buffer zone of hatred that he cannot come through, and then there's a buffer zone of love that he cannot penetrate. That is the enmity between the hate of Satan and the love of God. God so when he laid that layer of love, he first come through with this hating mentality, and he can't get through love because he's all about. Now I understand why there's only two commandments: love thy God with all your heart and love thy that's why God so love. He gave his. Guess what? It's simple. When you understand that it has nothing to do with you, and it's all about a promise that he made with himself, that you just reaping the benefits of love that he had for mankind. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visited him. When you understand that it is not about your sins, because your sins was supposed to happen so you can see the cross, you can see help just waiting for you, help that's already been done for you. Do you understand that you cannot make it without grabbing salvation today in your life? I can preach to you constantly about
sleeping. I can preach to you constantly about do-overs. But until you understand the beginning, hallelujah, the first covenant that was established unconditionally, that I have already placed in your future a seed to help you. I want to deal with everybody here that do not have the promise first. I want to deal with you. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you live in a defeated life and you know that you live in a defeated life, then there is a problem. I'm not trying to call you out to make you feel bad. I'm trying to call you out so you can get help today. The tree was already planted in the garden. He knew it was that mankind was going to sin. Guess what? He already made provisions for you today. Some of y'all not here because they came to serve to see you, or somebody went to your house yesterday and invited you to church. You are here because God has called you out of darkness that he may place you into his wonderful life, that you may receive victory today in your life.